And we're so happy to have with us now from NFL Network, NFL.com, my longtime buddy, Steve Wyche. Steve, how you doing, man?
Vic, so good talking to you, man. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Outstanding. And I welcome you back to the show. You've been on before, but I think the last time you hadn't started your new gig yet, and we want to, let's plug that, the AM show, the NFL AM show, which is weekday starting at 6 a.m. Eastern time on NFL Network. You're a part of that. It really, let me tell you, Steve, it's an outstanding show. I mean, it's so informative, but also has that kind of that Today Show feel, yet in the football sporting realm.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we're aiming for. It's a morning show, but it's not so under the hood that if you're waking up at 7 o'clock, you know, getting your coffee, you know, you're getting steamrolled with, you know, football jargon. You know, it's right. Really conversational. We've got great chemistry. You know, Eric Davis, the former 49ers cornerback, Mark Kriegel, a longtime New York columnist who was with Fox.
Right.
And then Nicole Zalumis and Brian Weber are the co-hosts. And it's just really, it's really creative. It's very smart. And, you know, we're just real fortunate, you know, to be on it. We're entering our fourth week. And, you know, everybody's really kind of fine in their lane. I think it's really going to work, and it's going to be great for all the viewers.
No, I think it's going to be a great success, and I wish you all the best with it. And you've got a definite fan in me watching it here in Cleveland. Now, let me move on to something else that's new, and that is basically the New Look Browns with a lot of young talent. How's that for a transition?
Beautiful. But, well done, man.
But I bring it up to you for a couple of reasons. One, one of those new players was a guest on the NFL AM show recently, Brandon Whedon, the Browns rookie quarterback. Like your thoughts, first of all, in general about the newcomers and the talent that they bring, and then specifically some of your impressions of Brandon.
Well, you know, I actually interviewed him this summer on my podcast, and the first thing you realize is, you know, he's not your average rookie. He is a 28-year-old young man. This is a guy who's got some maturity with him, carries himself and will be able to deal with the expectations. I mean, playing quarterback in the NFL is a lot more than, you know, calling signals, deciphering defense, and throwing passes.
Right.
I mean, you've got the whole package of dealing with the media and dealing with fans and dealing with community groups. He's going to knock that part out of the park. Just a very smooth, mature, young guy. Now, in terms of a player, you saw preseason the gains he made from week two, from week one. And I think he's going to be that type of guy. People I've spoken to were like, you know, look, if this guy was 22, 23, there's a chance he could have been the second or definitely the third quarterback taken. It was just that his age is kind of held against him, which means his window for his learning curve is smaller. But that means that maybe he can step in and give the Browns something a little sooner. And I think he's a perfect fit for that West Coast system that Pat Shurmur, Brad Childress run, kind of timing-based system, because he can get that ball out of his hands. He can make good throws.
Right.
You know, look, no one knows how great he's going to be out of the gate, but I think he's someone over time who's going to do well, because the Browns have a lot more talent on that team than people give him credit for.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Trent Richardson comes aboard. Of course, we've only seen him briefly in camp because he underwent that arthroscopic knee surgery. Do expect him back soon, and the hope is that he's here for the start of the regular season. But also Travis Benjamin at wide receiver. Josh Gordon coming aboard as a supplemental pick as a wide receiver and has been impressive in practice and, you know, seemingly making progress on that on that long learning curve that he has for a guy who's been out of football and had no offseason. And then adding a Mitchell Schwartz to the offensive line and other young people pretty much all over the place. Steve, I assume then that you're seeing this talent infusion as being legitimately an upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, not even so much the infusion, but the talent that they've been building there the past couple of years. I mean, that offensive line, there's legitimate guys there. I mean, the best way, Vic, and you know this, that you evaluate the talent is, if let's say you released a guy, if other teams would snatch him. Well, people would snatch up that offensive line right away. And then you've got the Greg Littles and the Massaquas and, you know, some of the new talent that's come in. I mean, there are players there, and that was a top 10 defense there last year. There's players on both sides of the ball. Now, is Cleveland going to be able to necessarily leapfrog Baltimore and Pittsburgh? you don't know. That's why we play the games. And, you know, if Whedon doesn't turn the ball over, the key to success as a quarterback in the NFL isn't necessarily throwing 35 touchdowns. It's not turning the ball over. If he doesn't turn the ball over and they're able to control the clock at times with that run game and have that defense give that offense a short field to get them field goals or touchdowns, then they have a chance, man. I mean, that's the quickest way to be competitive and to maintain some type of competitive success.
Steve Wyche from NFL Network, NFL.com, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And you touched upon the rest of this division, this AFC North. Steve, what are your impressions based on, you know, what you know? Talk about the Steelers, again, getting older in a lot of places, having some turnover on the defensive side of the ball. The Ravens, so much talk about that offensive line, maybe getting a little long in the tooth and maybe not being what it needs to be for their ability to continue to be a contender. But what, and we know about the Bengals, certainly had coming off a good draft, but a team that made the playoffs last year with a rookie quarterback. How are you looking at the rest of the division?
Great division. I think Baltimore, despite some of its concerns, has got to be one of the, you know, three or four teams out of the gate you have to look at that can compete, you know, for a Super Bowl. You know, even though they're not going to have Terrell Suggs for however long, and they lost Jared Johnson, outside linebacker, you know, Ozzie Newsome has stacked depth there. And that offense, yeah, the offensive line has some issues, but not many. And, you know, they throw the ball. They're going to become a much more of a big play type of team. Mm-hmm. So Baltimore is going to be very good. Pittsburgh is going to be very good. Yeah, they're older in some positions on defense, but they've got some young guys to step in. You know, Todd Haley, he can scheme a passing game like it's nobody's business. So there's going to be some learning curve for them offensively, but Pittsburgh's a big play team. And now we see the tandem of Andy Dalton and A.J. Green. I mean, that could be something special. So that's a rugged division. You know, and going back to Cincinnati, you know, Mike Zimmer, that defense is going to be top 10 with him being the coordinator, and regardless of what players they give him, he finds ways to play to their strengths.
Right.
So it's a very, very tough division, but I don't think it's one where any team is infallible. An injury here, or, you know, go on a 2 or 3 game losing streak and see how they handle adversity.
Right.
It could open the door. I mean, you really don't know.
Some of the other interesting storylines around the league, they usually involve quarterbacks in one form or another. The Titans recently announcing that Jake Locker is going to be their starting quarterback, beating out Matt Hasselbeck. I don't know that was that much of a surprise, right? I mean, they wanted to get Jake in there as quickly as they could, but Hasselbeck was the bridge guy.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't think anyone should be surprised by this. Remember, you know, when Mike Munchak took over as head coach, they drafted Jake Locker. And typically, you know, the head coaches, if he's going to draft a quarterback as high as they did, that quarterback's going to get on the field as soon as possible. The only thing that delayed that transition was the lockout. You know, maybe they didn't feel that Locker had enough off-season work to come in and be ready. And I think that's what happened. You know, Jacksonville had no plans doing that with Blaine Gabbert either, and he just got thrust in there because the regular quarterback, David Garrard, got hurt. So, yeah, I mean, Locker's going to be in there. We'll see. I think one thing that coaches and GMs will tell you when they make a decision like this isn't even necessarily how they completely perform in preseason games, but how other players in that locker room gravitate towards a certain quarterback, how they feel about him in the huddle. And by all accounts, it seems like they really, the players there, as much as Hasselbeck led them to a 9-7 record last year, really had a lot of confidence and faith in Locker.
Browns fans certainly aren't going to be probably all broken up if Michael Vick, it turns out, is, you know, in any way, shape, or form either unable to play or is not at full strength to play in the September 9th preseason opener. You know, the Eagles, of course, face the Browns Friday in the third preseason game, but in a very odd juxtaposition of games, with that one being Friday and then the Eagles turning around 2 weeks later and returning to Cleveland for that opener. But the issue with Michael Vick, with what happened, the hit that he took to the midsection from Kyle Love Monday night in New England, it just seems to me like, you know, we've seen this before, right? And it's kind of been a repeat type of thing where he's had, you know, these types of injuries. And he got banged on the hand on the helmet. That's another part of this one. But the rib thing, I think, is a little bit – is it a little bit chronic?
Well, you know, they've got to be concerned about it because, you know, he's a shorter quarterback. And it's just kind of odd that a shorter quarterback is taking blows to the ribs. So he's opening himself up. He's exposing himself. Remember, he missed games the past couple of years with bruised ribs and cartilage damage to the ribs. So whatever he's doing, his style of play is exposing his ribs. I mean, you don't see a lot of guys necessarily go out with rib injuries. You know, Tony Romo had the broken rib last year. But,
right.
Vic has always played that gonzo quarterback style, and you don't want to reel him in because you take away his effectiveness that way. But then if you let him continue to play kind of that riverboat gambler style, again, he exposes himself to injury. And if he goes down, as good as Nick Foles and Mike Kafka might be as backups, the Eagles' playoff hopes are in trouble. Mike Vick's only played one full season out of nine because of little nicks and bumps and bruises here and there. So if he's going to get hurt, the Eagles are probably hoping that it happens earlier in the season and he can come back than when they're in the guts of a playoff hunt in December.
And as we also look at another league-wide issue that is definitely on a lot of the – maybe – I don't know if it's in the forefront of people's minds, but it's still there because it gets brought up with each game that's played, and that is the replacement officials. And by all indications, this lockout of the regular refs is going to continue, and it doesn't look like it has a very quick end in sight.
Yeah, I can't see how they really get to the regular season. If they don't get something done this week, I don't see how they get to the regular season without having the replacement refs. I mean, just to throw the regular refs in there with no preseason or only on 2 or 3 days notice would seem, kind of a rush. Mm. I'm sure they could kick it up, the lot of them like they're riding a bike, but the way things look right now and from people I've spoken with, the league is full ready to go into the regular season with these officials. And although there's been, complaints and concerns and things like that, we haven't seen any calls that would have necessarily altered, the outcome of a game or the safety of a player.
Right.
So I think most people can live with that, understanding the circumstances. Now, I think the league does need to get its true officials back as soon as it can. But this is one of those negotiations, Vic, that, a lot of times there's 11th-hour activity. And I don't know what that deadline is, but I'm thinking we're getting so close that, again, the regular season probably will open with replacement officials.
Yeah, it seems to be that way. But I think your point's well taken, that I don't find myself – and, again, you look for a lot of fodder for your show and what you contribute to that, to NFL Network, to NFL.com. And I don't find myself consumed with, look at that call in that game or look at that situation. Maybe there are some awkward mechanical things that have gone on and the rough edges of it all. But, the whole idea of less experienced certainly referees, officials that haven't worked NFL games, makes people uncomfortable around the league. I'm sure coaches and others involved. But as you point out, there just hasn't been that one thing yet that so many people have focused on.
Yeah, and the thing is, if that one thing does happen, are you going to be able to differentiate as to whether that would have happened with a regular official?
Right.
I mean, again, I think getting the regular officials, the folks who've given so much of their time and experience, getting them back on the field is crucial. But, it just doesn't look like it's going to happen in the short term.
Yep. Steve, great stuff. And we appreciate you taking the time to join us. And we look forward to catching up with you again. And again, continued success with NFL AM. It's weekdays starting at 6 a.m. Eastern time on NFL Network.
Thanks for having me on, Vic.
All right. Steve Wyche, the one and only, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.